Welcome to Coming From Experience, my virtual campfire where we can all gather round and share our experiences through this little thing called life. I'm your host, Annalise, and I'm here to bring you the raddest people I've come to know, sharing their stories of growth, evolution, and their unique take on universal experiences. The stories and experiences I bring to you in this podcast will span a wide variety of topics, from career changes to motherhood, personal development, spirituality, growth in relationship, health and wellness, and so much more. I hope that these stories inspire you and open up a portal for deep connection and conversation on topics that would otherwise be left untouched. Let's dive in. Finding what you had in mind. Hey, Sam, welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you here.
I'm excited. Thank you. My little projector heart loves an actual invitation.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm popping your podcast cherry, aren't I?
You are.
There we go. That's exciting. The question I like to kick off every podcast with is, how do you spend your day? How can we get a little bit of insight into you? Ooh.
Okay. So at the moment, I start my day. My morning routine goes for about 8 hours.
I love it.
But I wake up without an alarm. I'm so thrilled to be at a point in my life where I no longer have an alarm, because I used to have to wake up at 4:30 every day, my old business. So that's just such a dream in itself.
Yeah, that's huge.
And then Ben and I go for our morning walk. We get an iced oat latte.
Mm.
And then I have a rock. I have this rock. I was one of those people that grew up. Like, for me, the most grounding feeling in the world is laying on warm concrete.
Mm,
or do you know that feeling?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah.
Like after the sun's passed and it's just the ground is warm.
Yep. Yeah.
Anyway, I found this rock that has built-in cup holders. I live on the ocean. So that's Ben awesome. And I will bring our coffees and we'll put them in our rock cup holders.
Yeah.
And I literally will be there for between 2 to 5 hours.
That's awesome.
I might do my emails from there. I'll listen to music. I might just have a moment to myself. And then my morning routine ends at about 3 p.m.
That is a projected dream.
I know, it's so perfect. And then I start I'm in new business mode. So I was in startup mode for 2 years, and for the last 8 weeks, I'm in new business mode. So I'm kind of just finding my way, doing what feels important in that moment, but it's very fluid and it's very, it varies. There's no real routine. There's no real structure. I kind of just at the moment go with the flow of what I feel like doing in that moment, very cycle based, which I
know. Yeah, definitely.
And then at some point I'll be like, great, it's TV time and food time.
Yeah. And love a wine down of an evening.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Often with a wine.
Yeah.
And I have these, I have food visions. It sounds super out there, there's
really?
People that have creative art, actual artwork. I have food visions, and I literally will get an image in my head of a meal and I have to work backwards to figure out what I'm looking at. So it's really weird. So I'll say to Ben, oh my God, I've had a food vision. I'll get maybe 3 a week. Last night it was cheeseburger pizza.
Wow.
What the fuck? I know. Can I swear on this thing?
100%.
So I was like, what am I looking at? I'm like, I'm seeing a pizza and I'm seeing mince and pickles. And I'm like, am I looking at a cheeseburger pizza? So that's what we made. That's what we had for dinner.
Was it good?
It was really good. It was good. It didn't blow me away. Usually my food visions blow me away. This was good.
Wow.
I feel like I've gone up 3 dress sizes, so I feel a little depressed today, to be honest.
Too much salt or something? Too much holding in the water?
Too much cheese. that's kind of my day. It's very fluid.
I love that.
It's very fluid. It's very simple. The last few months have really taught me the beauty and simplicity. Usually I would be running around doing random. I don't know what I'd be doing because this new business mode is new for me. Yeah. But just having that kind of anchoring of walking, a drink, my rock.
Yeah.
Literally a rock.
Yeah, literally.
And then coming back and being like, okay, what feels right? It's quite simple, but it's feeling good.
Simple but effective. And also something we do not revere enough, which is not overdoing it, not getting up and getting straight into the hustle, actually taking the time and having, as a projector as well, having that balance between work and play, resting, all of that. It doesn't have to be all or nothing all the time.
Exactly. I was listening to David White, who's a poet, yesterday, and he kept talking about like radical simplicity. And I was like, exactly. Like, it's quite radical to start stripping away all the things that we don't actually need and keep it simple. Amazing.
Very, very. Yeah. And so easily neglected.
Totally.
So talk to us about the new business. Obviously, I know all about Inner Bloom. I'm sipping on my 04, the PMS blend currently, which is the phase that I am in. Yep, that's the one. I love it so much. Oh, my gosh. I've learned that you actually don't need to steep them for that long because
you see, I think 04 needs quite a long steeping of all the others.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I let that one brew for like half an hour.
Oh, really? Okay. I'm a steeper. Like when I first had it, I left the strainer. I left the infuser in there and I was like, oh my, they're just so much flavor, like so much. I was like, wow. Like, and I think that's a testament to the quality of the ingredients. And like you open the can and it's just like walking through a lavender garden. Oh my God. And you had me at cacao. As soon as I saw there was cacao.
Genius.
I was like, you've got me. I actually love it. So tell me about Inner Bloom. Tell everyone else about Inner Bloom.
Okay. So Inner Bloom is my new business and it is very simply, it is four naturopathically formulated blends of herbal tea to support the four stages of our menstrual cycle.
Yeah.
And I mean, we could go into the whole thing of how that all came to be, but essentially they're there as an anchor to help us connect back into our body and begin to connect to our cycles that honestly we just weren't educated around and didn't know how to use as a tool of self-discovery and connection and wisdom. And so that's the goal. The goal is to use herbal tea and herbal medicine as herbal medicine. It's been done since the dawn of time.
100%.
And to let the herbs co-create in our bodies in a way that we have an experience of connecting to ourselves and our cycle in a new way.
Yeah, I love that.
So you're drinking 04, which is the PMS blend, which has cacao nibs in there because when we formulated it was very much around like the energetics, the spiritual aspects and the physical aspects of each stage of our cycle. And classically that PMS phase, our hormones are dropping. Often we feel a little crazy. We feel like we need more nutrients and more nourishment. And cacao is classically, it's extremely nutritious. It's got tons of nutritional value. And often we crave that in that phase. How intelligent. Yeah, so yes, of course, the PMS phase, we wanted that one to be a real cacao infusion to support us in a more healthy way.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And like, I notice like, and I agree, and we can definitely talk to this piece because I obviously have a background with PCOS and I know you have your own story to share with cycles. And I would agree that in schools, we are not educated on our cycles. Like young women are like very fearful of getting a bleed. Like it's very like, oh no, like I don't want this. And then it's like straight on the pill and you can forget about it now until you want to have kids. And that's a whole other conversation.
It's a huge conversation.
Huge, right?
That's basically my exact life story you just said.
Yeah, mine too. Like mine too. And mine was born out of, I had all of these symptoms. Like my body was clearly struggling. My hormones were like, what the heck's going on? And doctors were like, here's a drug, here's another drug, here's an antibiotic, here's a this, here's a that. Mask, 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 mask. And then, you know, for me, I went seven or eight years on the pill and then came off the pill. And what do you know? All of my symptoms came back because it actually did nothing that was corrective. And I had just completely shut off my connection with my cycle over those really formative years. Yeah. Like we are suppressing body wisdom at such a pivotal point. And I mean, call me crazy, but I feel like there's some intention behind that. Like, it isn't a coincidence. I heard something and you might've shared it or someone else might've shared it, but maybe I just saw it when I was scrolling reels like I do every afternoon, but there was this reel where it was like, men can get a woman pregnant every single day for, you know, a whole month. Yet women can only get pregnant 3 days, you know, effectively 3 to 5 days out of a whole month. Yet they're the ones on contraception.
Isn't that unbelievable? And men could have 3 million babies in a year. Women can have one.
Crazy. I know. That's crazy. Yeah, we're the ones that drug our bodies. Anyway, but back to your point, like I noticed that I love chocolate at the best of time, but it is definitely in that week to 10 days leading up to my period where I'm like, where's the chocolate? And I do, I grab for it. I'm like, give me the dark chocolate and just that after dinner treat or that afternoon pick me up. Our bodies know, they're so intuitive, they're so aware.
Exactly. And that's what I love so much about cycle awareness is that it begins it makes sense. You start to understand that you're not just moody. You're not just randomly craving things. There's actually quite a clear pattern to it, and it's there to support you.
Yeah.
It's there for you to experience more in a sustained way.
Mm.
And that knowledge has just been hidden from us, suppressed, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's our birthright to connect to that. And if anything, it is our greatest source of wisdom to have that sort of feedback available to us. And yet it's the thing that we're educated the least about. I had the exact same experience as you, the whole, what you said around the pill.
Yeah.
How long, why you went on it, what happened when you came off it. Like, this is a tale that is so consistent now, specifically in our age group.
Yeah.
And look how many womb issues, how interesting.
I know, right? It's like a phenomenon. Like, I feel like I'm making this statistic up, but I also feel like it's probably not
I do
wrong.
That. I'm like, I just make up statistics. And I'm like, no, it's definitely right. Might not be, but, tell me yours.
I feel like it's 1 in 4 women have some sort of hormonal imbalance. I know it's 1 in 4 or 1 in 5 women have PCOS. Mm-hmm. I know that. I know that is maybe where I'm drawing it from. Mm-hmm. And I'm condensing it down to all things. But endometriosis, like inflammation of the endometrial tissue, is just like massive. Is that something that you have suffered with in the past or no?
Well, yes. Well, I don't know.
You don't know conclusively.
To be totally frank with you. Like I have, and this might actually surprise some people because I kind of have head in the sanded myself a bit around this stuff because like you, I went on the pill. I went on the pill when I was 14 for my skin.
Wow. Yeah.
I was on the pill for 10 years.
Wow.
9 or 10 years. And then like you, I came. And so my formative years, total disconnection. From that wisdom center, which some people talk about our cycle as our sixth vital sign, like our reference for how we're going.
Yeah. 100%.
I wasn't experiencing a cycle. It's not a real bleed on the pill, which a lot of people don't know. They're like, no, I take the sugar pill and I have a period. It's not a period. It's a withdrawal symptom.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And so you're not getting the access to the body wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came off the pill and I didn't get a period for 2 years.
Two years.
Yeah. So my body no longer knew how to regulate naturally because its entire formative years had been suppressed hormonally, no ability to find its own natural rhythm.
That's
I felt a real loss without my period.
Yeah.
And I actually got my period back when I was living in Berlin.
Yeah.
And when it came back, just like you, it came back with a fucking vengeance. She didn't know who she wanted to be anymore. And it was all over the place, chronic pain, which we can go into.
Yeah.
And so I started going down millions of specialists, but it wasn't every month. It was often, but sometimes it would have a month where it wasn't too bad. And so a lot of people were saying, well, it's not endometriosis because that would be very consistent. I went and had ultrasounds. It was always possible polycystic ovaries, possible endometriosis. And yet I was so young. I was like in my mid-20s. And, you know, they say that the only way to really tell if you have endometriosis is to get, what's it called?
Like a scrape.
The surgery, the keyhole surgery thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do it. It didn't feel resonant to me. I was like, I don't really resonate with burning that area. For me, I think it's a brilliant thing that a brilliant tool that we have available.
Yeah.
But I just had this feeling. I was like, I can fix this. Like I can heal this.
Yeah.
And I don't want to burn a part of my body. I need to that would be with polycystic ovaries, right? Where they go in and actually kind of burn.
No, that's more.
That is endometriosis.
PCOS is more just like literally cystic ovaries.
That's right. So with the endometriosis one, I just didn't feel resonant to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I was like, let me try and figure out another way.
Yeah. Give me an option.
But for some people, it is their best option. And if it ever changed, I would reconsider for myself and maybe do that. But
definitely. It sounds like the jury was still out on you. So
the jury was out.
Yeah.
And I wasn't willing to just have that surgery to find out where I can't actually give you a good reason why I didn't do that. It was intuition.
Yeah. That's it.
Straight up intuition.
And that's all you need to know.
Yeah. Simple as that. And that might seem naive, but I just was like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to see if I can fix it for myself. And that is what this whole thing took me on this journey of years and years to see if is it possible? I think I started to think it was possible because I was getting pap smears.
Yep.
And I was showing, it was always coming back with, normally it's like no problem.
Yeah.
For most people. Yep. And I was getting constantly the stage before cervical cancer, like the worst possible bracket you can have. And I was having to go to specialists and specialists. Yep. and I was having to go to gynecologists, and they were like scraping bits off and getting it tested. And he kept, my gynecologist at the time kept saying, like, you need to go back on the pill. And I was like, I have just fucking recovered from being on the pill for a decade. I am never going back on the pill. I refuse. And he was like, another person that doesn't want to be on the pill. Anyway, and so he was like, okay, well, based on what I'm seeing while I'm looking at your cervix right now with a microscope, you're going to need to have that burning thing where they take off that area. I think that's what I'm talking about with the burning thing. And my intuition was like, no. It doesn't even make sense, like, to me. If it's a viral thing, how does burning it off even help? It's like a systemic issue.
It's kind of like, it's like you wipe away the dust only for the dust to reappear.
Exactly.
Like, that's kind of the process of it. It's like, then you kind of caught in this constant cycle of like needing to clear it out, get rid of the the endometriosis, start again.
Exactly. And it just didn't feel resonant. And so he kept saying, like, I'm looking at it, it looks to me like you're going to need that. And then he would go and take the sample off to be tested and be like, actually, it's okay. Let's just monitor it for 6 months. So I was like, interesting.
Whiplash.
So I ended up going down this whole womb journey. That I healed it. My pap smear is now completely cleared.
That's awesome.
So that's how I was like, I experienced, and by healing it, that meant like doing a lot of womb work, changing my diet, changing my lifestyle so I wasn't so stressed, because this was all happening in a time of my life where I was beyond, I can't even tell you how stressed I was. So I had the experience of being able to turn something around myself.
Yeah.
And that was enough for me to go on to be like, maybe I can heal this too, you know?
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. It's so funny because literally my intuition spoke to me after my PCOS diagnosis, which didn't even come from a GP or a doctor. It came from a naturopath. And she was like, technically, I can't diagnose you. So take this information to your doctor, get them to evaluate it, get them to give you a diagnosis. But this is what I see. And they were like, oh, yep, definitely PCOS. And I was like, where was that when I was 14, when you had all of this information or you could have done the investigation? But yeah, my intuition was like, do not go back down the route of like traditional medicine. Like, it serves a purpose, but not for this.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what a naturopath was. I shit you not. I had no clue. I wasn't like the most health conscious. And it was because of that experience that I went on to study nutrition. And so like same sort of thing that led me down that path. And that served me beautifully for the period of time that it served me, working in that career, working in that space. But I also feel like I needed to go down that path and get so educated on it to like fully understand, to then kind of move forward. And like you said, like, I've had the support of a lot of allied practitioners, but it was something that I effectively healed myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I went back and had tests done and they were like, you are asymptomatic to PCOS. So yes, you've been diagnosed, but you do not have cystic ovaries. You do not have elevated testosterone. You do not have elevated, like, blood sugar levels and things like that. And so, like, effectively corrected it, a thing that I have been told on many occasions would not be corrected, and good luck falling pregnant.
Wow. Yeah. That is so incredible.
Massive.
So incredible.
But you know what? It comes back to this cycle syncing and connecting. And this has been bigger, I would say, in the last couple of years, five or so maybe, than it was previously. But it really, really is understanding your cycle, understanding every phase of your cycle, working with that, and then above and beyond. And this is something that I've always maintained, and I feel like it's a sentiment that you'll agree with. Just because something is commonly experienced does not make it normal.
Yep.
So even with the PMS blend, like the way that, and I was drawn to that immediately because women often are going to be so reactive in those final, you know, that final stage, that final week, those final few days before the bleed comes in. That's where we do see a lot of the symptoms arising, and we've normalized a lot of those. But actually, if you can connect in with that anchor point and go, okay, I'm more moody than normal. I'm experiencing this more than normal. Like, what other factors, what else is going on? Denormalize that. Like, it's common 100%, but we should have pain-free, beautiful cycles for the most part. Yeah.
Yep. Agree 100%. And that is the beauty of starting to understand your cycle and specifically tracking it.
Yeah.
Because there is incredible gifts in the PMS phase.
Yes.
They express, it's just like with your human design and the gates, like there's the shadow aspect of it. And then it's when it's more in the light. It's exactly the same with our cycle.
I love that.
And the PMS phase, the shadow side is like, if you're disconnected from your body, which I have been pretty much my whole life, like me a floating head walking around, absolutely disconnected, feeling all over the place, relying on my mind for everything, which is, we know, notoriously unreliable.
Very infantile.
Then my cycle is coming out in ways that are unpleasant for me and probably everybody around me.
Mm-hmm.
So the PMS phase, for example, when it's not being honored and you're not working with it, it comes across as like erratic energy, incredible mood swings, feeling crazy, bipolar, like that whole kind of feeling. And yet that time is, it's our truth speaker. It's the best time of the month for discernment. It's our bullshit meter is at its peak this week because it's there helping us. Like it's helping refine. It's helping refine before our period comes again and we start to surrender what no longer served. So we use our period phase as when our intuition is the highest and we access, like it's almost like our inner lights turn on and the outer lights dim a little for us to kind of really reconnect back to our body and that aspect of true power, which for me, our bleed is power.
Yeah, I agree.
And we have intuition and stillness and visioning. And then we take that out into the post-period phase and it's almost like coming out of the period cave and like curiosity and play are the key words for me during that week. And so interesting, you start to pay attention to your cycle. Like I've just come out of the post-period phase and I look back, it's never like I'm aware in the moment. It's like a hindsight thing. And I realized I was classic post-period phase. I picked up a guitar I hadn't picked up in like 18 months and just wanted to play for the sake of playing. I was like frolicking in the water. Like who fucking frolics?
Yeah.
I was frolicking. I don't frolic in the PMS phase.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so, and it's using this kind of sense of vision and intuition we harvested in the period phase and we start to play with it. It's a great time for like experimenting with new hobbies, all the things that just you are just naturally curious for. It's a great time because you have lightness and play available during that week in the lead up to ovulation, which is peak energy.
Yeah.
Peak, you can create a baby. Yeah. You can, it's the best time for creation in general. It's the best time for the opposite of the period phase, which is like peak outward focus. It's the best time to meet up with friends. It's the best time to do a podcast. The best time for like really outputting of energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you do that and then you need the PMS phase. Could you imagine being in the ovulation phase the whole month?
I definitely
terrible.
Couldn't. Oh, yeah.
I would jump off a cliff.
Yeah, I think that's because we're projectors.
Yeah, exactly. I actually would rather launch myself off a cliff than be in ovulation energy the entire month.
Yeah,
and then that incredible refinement and discernment of that PMS phase is there to help us shift gears and start to drop down. And my capacity in this week for like directness and like yes and no, it's such a gift actually. But when we are avoiding it and for example, the PMS phase is when, like, if you're in a shit relationship or you're in a shit job, the same feeling, if that comes up every PMS phase, that's your cycle talking to you. It's so like, pay attention. The things that aren't working for you in the rest of the month that you can avoid because you're in this beautiful intuitive zone during a period week. You're playing in the post-period phase. You're outward doing all the things in the ovulation phase. When else is it going to be able to come to you? It's that PMS phase.
Yeah.
And so incredible wisdom available.
Yeah.
But you have to honor it as so. And that's why like this blend is specifically is crafted and formulated to support all the aspects of that phase. And so I've noticed now my experience of my period is completely different. I hated my period because it was a source of incredible chronic agony. Like I thought I would die from the pain. Did you have painful periods?
I never had painful periods, but they were unpredictable.
Yeah.
Like I never knew if they were coming. I actually had my biggest grievance was all of the PMS symptoms. I would have fluid retention, but I would have it from like ovulation onwards. So for 2 weeks of the month, I felt slim and pretty and normal. And then for another 2 weeks of the month, I felt bloated and fluidy and uncomfortable. We both are emotionals in human design, but my whole upbringing, oh, you're so sensitive, you're so emotional. Are you getting your period? Like it was always that that thing, like you're a moody child, like this week. I really suffered from a symptomatic perspective. And then I got my bleed and I was like, oh, relief. Like I felt that relief. And I've always had heavy, but never painful in the sense of like cramps or discomfort in that way.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's really interesting.
But super symptomatic leading up to it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, and that's what's so interesting, right? Like we have, what else is so unique to us? Like we all have such a different experience and I don't even see our periods as a, like a cycle. I see it as like a spiral because you never have the same one.
Yeah.
It's always refining. Like I'm getting to know myself. I mean, this is the whole point. Like, if I could really boil down my entire, my intention isn't to have a tea business.
Yeah, I know. That's,
I'm not a period coach. I'm not a naturopath. My goal is to finally understand who I actually am and enjoy my life.
And for others to have that same experience, I suppose.
Exactly. And I don't think that's possible if you're disconnected from your body.
Yeah.
And for me, the best way to know myself and the best doorway back into my body was through connecting to my cycle. Because in the beginning, from being somebody that was so disconnected from my body, the only time I've honestly, the only time I was I was connected to my body was if I was high at a festival.
Yeah.
Or if I was experiencing my period pain. They're the only two times. It's like, I can't be high all the time.
No.
I tried in 2007. Didn't miss a festival, baby.
But there's other ways.
There's other ways.
And fostering a deeper connection too.
That's right. And it's like, so the only time I was in my body was once a month when I would experience my period, but it was so painful.
Yeah, it's not a good.
Like, people don't know me yet, but like, my period pain was so bad that I would collapse in public and I would literally vomit and shit myself in public. Because, I mean, you'd be able to speak to this more with your studying, but from what I understand is like when you get that incredible pain, and it's like almost contractions of pain, your body feels like it's trying to help you. It's trying to release whatever feels like it's poisoning you. So it expels from both ends as a way of like detoxing this incredible pain out of your body. It just doesn't realize it's your own uterus, you know? So I would experience such chronic pain. Like I couldn't actually withstand that amount of pain. So I would black out. And so the fear of where I would be when my period came was all encompassing. I was like, I would be in pain and then I would be scared for the other 28 days of the month, being like, how is it going to be next month? What if I'm in public? Like the worst one ever. I was in Bondi getting this Ayurvedic treatment thing with this young guy. And as I was laying on the thing, I felt my period pain coming on. And I was like, I was like embarrassed firstly, because there's a lot of shame around our periods. It's like, I don't want to be a bother. And, you know, like even as little girls were like, can you pass me a tampon? Like it's, we're not proud of it. The worst thing that could happen is if we fucking bled on our school uniform.
Yeah.
You know, so much fear and kind of shame around it, which is very
the
systemic.
The shame piece is huge.
And like really locked in our bodies. So that's another big thing. Like, and I think that is changing. But anyway, I was in Bondi and I felt the pain getting worse and worse to the point that I kept trying to just hold it, but I was really not enjoying myself. And then I was like, sorry, I'm going to need to go to the bathroom. Long story short, I collapsed in the bathroom and I was felt so unwell. I stripped all my clothes off and just laid on the shower with the water coming on me. I was in a stranger's house, his family home.
Oh, wow.
Just laying, like moaning in agony. It was just terrible, to the point that he had to come in. Just this young guy, I'm nude in the shower and he has to he's like, are you okay? And I was like, not really. So he took me to his little sister's single bed and I was screaming and I called Ben, and Ben normally doesn't answer the phone when he's working. This is when he was still in the city working prior to lockdowns.
Yeah.
This is years and years ago. And thank God he answered the phone, and he had to get an Uber and rush to me in Bondi and literally physically carry me out of this stranger's home into the car that I had driven there. And I just remember like being in the car, him driving home and me just like wailing. It was just grief. It's like, how can I be experiencing this amount of pain? Like it was just felt so sad. And so that's the only time I was in my body.
So interesting. And I bet you were trying to get out of it just as quickly.
Of course. I was totally disassociating. And I tried everything. Yeah. And I was like, you know, but I couldn't. My body didn't let me disengage from that amount of pain. And so, you know, people say like, don't take painkillers. There's a message at the core of the pain. So I would try that and that would make me black out. Like I couldn't actually stay present for that level of pain.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, my period is the only thing that's getting me in my body. What if there was a way of experiencing it that wasn't this torturous? And so it led me down this whole journey of like, I started doing like even yoga. I couldn't even do yoga. I was so disconnected from my body that I would bawl my eyes out in yoga because it was torturous being in my, I didn't know how to be in my body. And I blame being on the pill for such a long time and feeling so disconnected from my femininity, because if we connect disconnected from our womb, how are we meant to feel feminine?
Yeah.
Like it's the source of life itself, our periods. And I wasn't experiencing mine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
I blame that disconnect on this total separation from what makes me a woman.
Yeah.
And then, so even yoga, deeply unpleasant. I was like, I have to, it is my duty to it's my duty to myself to fix this. Yeah. I have to fix this.
No one else is going to.
Exactly. No one else can help me. I've tried. I've tried every specialist. I've tried every medication. I've seen naturopaths. My doctor injected me with testosterone in the hope by a needle, thinking it might help. Like, I tried fucking everything. Wow. Don't even ask me what the thought was behind that.
That is random.
So I started, this is how the whole period piece started. It's like, even my first period when I was 13 was terrible. Like, I remember being at the movies with my friend. You know, we used to be out, you know, that's like the first outing you would have as a kid. You go to the mall, you could go to the movies.
Yep.
And your parents would drop you off and pick you up.
So
we went to the movies, and I remember feeling the worst pain I'd ever felt and not knowing what was going on. I didn't even think about periods then. And I remember I had to commando roll up the aisle to get out. I couldn't walk. It's like I lost access to walking. It was such bad pain. And I had just got my Nokia 3310 for Christmas the year before.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I called my dad, and he rushed to pick me up. I don't even remember waiting. Like, I just remember being very scared. And he picked me and my friend up and rushed me to the doctors. And I was sitting in the waiting room, and I literally exorcist style projectile spewed over the entire waiting room. So intense.
I shouldn't laugh.
It's just so fucking dramatic.
Oh my God.
And I get into the doctor.
But traumatizing also. Oh my
God. Like, what a initiation by fire.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I go to the doctor, and the doctor's asking me questions, and he's like, no, there's nothing wrong with you. There was nothing wrong. I get home that afternoon, and I get my first period.
So you hadn't got it yet?
I hadn't got it yet. So I didn't know. And that afternoon I got my first period.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just so intense. Mm. And so I started, when I was experiencing this incredible pain years later, I was like, there has to be another way. And I was like, there has to be information somewhere. I know we weren't taught it, but it has to be available. Mm. So I started reading like every book I could find. I started with Wild Power, which is like the Bible for connecting to your cycle. Big recommendation.
Yeah.
Reading book after book. And I started learning about the four stages. Mm-hmm. We certainly weren't educated about that as girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I started spending a lot of time in Bali. I was doing like womb workshops, womb trainings, all the things you can think of.
Mm.
And I did this 2-week womb workshop in Bali where it was just all around practices to connect to our womb. Mm. And that's when the idea just totally dropped in for the tease. I could literally see it. I could see it in my, actually, that's not true. I got home and I remember it was here that I had the vision. So I had just come back from Bali. I'm sitting on the couch with Ben, and I literally was saying to him, I was like, we fucking were not educated about this as young girls.
Mm.
I'd started tracking my cycle and I realized the incredible intricate wisdom of my cycle. Prior to that, I had felt like I was like borderline bipolar. Like, I just hadn't recognized the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And so for anyone listening, like, when you track your cycle, you start the day one of your bleed is day one of your cycle.
Yeah.
And I think the best way is to just get a blank notebook and write day one up the top. And every day one of your cycle, which is the first day of your full bleed, you just write what you're experiencing. It can be 2 lines. It can be, I am feeling chronic pain. I'm super moody. I can't stop crying. I hate my partner. You know, like, you can just say whatever's coming up for you.
Mm.
And then the next page at the top, day two, and you write a couple of lines, and you do that the whole way through your cycle. And then you get to say you've got a 28-day cycle. You write day 28, and then the next day you're getting your period, and you go back to the first page. And so you just write under the one you'd had for the month before a few lines about this month. And so this is
a great idea.
You can use apps and stuff, but I kind of feel like that's incredibly intimate, sensitive information that I personally just don't feel comfortable with it. And it's not a good way of noticing patterns. Yeah, so when it's literally on paper in front of you and you're seeing paragraph under paragraph of all your day ones together.
Yeah.
And if every day one, it's like incredible pain, blah, 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 you start to recognize that's a pattern. And this becomes more interesting when it's not your period week. Like, for example, I would notice that on day 9, every cycle, I would be writing like, I am so happy today. I love everything today. Like, it was just very positive.
Mm.
But I hadn't thought about that before. And I didn't think, on the day 9 of my cycle, I just thought, I'm happy today. How random.
And then
on day 23, I would look, and on day 23 of my cycle, I was a miserable fucking bitch. I was like wishing a world of pain on Ben. Mm. And Ben as you know, is the nicest person in the world. But
yeah,
I would look at everything through the lens on day 23 of my cycle. I was just unhappy, but I just thought I was bipolar. But then I start looking at this notebook and I'm like, oh my God, wait a second. That's actually a pattern. On every day 9 of my cycle, I'm happy. On every day 23 of my cycle, I'm miserable.
Yeah.
And et cetera. It goes round and round.
Yeah.
And it gave me for the first time this sense of like, there is a force at play, a cyclical sense within my body that I haven't been paying attention to, that and there's a pattern towards it. And it gave me this anchor to hold on to.
Yeah. And what's interesting is what I'm hearing as well is like, I almost reckon, and obviously I think because I know what the cycles are doing, not the cycle, the hormones are doing at that point, like you're almost talking to the peaks and troughs of all of the different hormones.
Exactly.
And like we always seek outwards of ourselves. Like I need to go get a blood test to understand what's happening within my body. Like, I don't know what my hormones are doing, so I need to go test them. And yes, absolutely valuable tool. But everything that you've spoken to, if you worked with a practitioner that like was across that essentially, would be able to go, oh, if you're experiencing moods on this day, maybe there's too steep of a drop in your hormones at this point. And like you can start to connect that, oh, you know, day 9, maybe your progesterone's lifting or your estrogen's moving on the up as well. And that's why you're feeling euphoric and you're feeling happy. And what you're essentially talking to is not only understanding yourself in how you're behaving, but also understanding what's happening on a deeper level within your body. And then if there needs to be a correction, you already know it. Like, you know how to work with it.
Exactly. It's like I am a serial get someone to help me person my whole life. I've outsourced.
Yeah.
I even it is so unfamiliar to me to trust my capacity to decision make. My whole life I've doubted myself.
Yeah.
It's like real self-doubt always that I still am working with all the time.
I think lots of us are. Yeah.
Yeah. I've always been like, I need a healer to heal me. I need a doctor to fix me. I need a naturopath. It's never occurred to me that I could be my best source of wisdom. I don't know why. Like, I don't know if it's just I've always been a little bit anxiously wired or it's just I was never taught that.
Yeah, I think it's the latter.
And so that is my exact reason for getting up every morning and with these teas and with Inner Bloom.
Yeah.
It's to guide us back to the fact that within us we have our best decision maker, our best source of wisdom, our best capacity to understand ourselves. And for me, it's through my cycle that I understand myself better physically, emotionally, hormonally. Like it's this incredible feedback loop available to us all the time. We just weren't taught to connect with it.
Yeah.
That's my entire reason. It's not even about just drinking tea. It's about what happens when you ask yourself the question, which tea do I need to drink today? Yeah. Oh yeah, because I have a cycle. But which tea? Oh, because I have stages of my cycle.
Yeah.
Oh, so you know what I mean?
Totally.
It's the dropping of like crumbs back inwards. And this is I created these teas because it's what I needed. That's like what I was saying. So I had this idea. It literally dropped in because I was speaking to Ben and I was like, we weren't educated about this as young girls.
Yeah.
And I'm so aware that sometimes things come across as a bit woo-woo if you don't understand them. And I was like, I didn't want to create a product where it's like four different blends of smoke that you ding a bell and you wave the smoke and you pray to something, you know, like I needed it to feel really practical so that anybody felt like it was available to them. But it simply was having something that you can create ritual around, because I think we've lost the essence of reverence for ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Ceremony, like I know we're both into like even doing cacao ceremonies, but like what about daily having some type of practice that is so simple yet so powerful? And instantly I had this idea dropping of tea.
Yeah.
Like tea, I've always loved tea.
It's also so very healing.
It's so healing. Like using plants as an ally, like which we said we've done from the beginning of time.
Yeah.
But even that process of putting the kettle on, you know, it's a saying for a reason. A friend comes over and they're bawling their eyes out, I'll pop the kettle on.
Yeah.
But there's ritual into like putting a spoon in and getting dried herbs and pouring water over them and letting them marinate with an intention and having a second and drinking it. Like tea is a ritual.
Yep.
And I was like, what if we used herbs to bring in that are for our womb in a really very specific way? And that's something to mention with these teas. They're not dealing on our hormonal axis, because that would be super inappropriate. I'm not, I mean, a naturopath formulated the blends with me, but like you can't group mass affect hormones. It's That's super, right. It's not appropriate. Like if these teas affected your hormones, I wouldn't be able to drink them. Anybody with a hormonal imbalance wouldn't be able to drink them. So we were like, how can we make them safer for more people? It's like, well, we're going to formulate the blends to affect the systems of the body that affect hormones, not hormones themselves. So like the adrenals.
Yeah.
The liver, a digestion. So in each blend, there's an adrenal tonic or some type of an adaptogen to help us adapt to stress. You know, it's there's something emotionally. There's womb. There's like, for example, in the PMS blend, there's lady's mantle, which is a womb tonic.
Yeah.
In the period blend, there's mugwort, which is a uterine tonic. It helps the uterus adapt to what it needs either way. It's around to balance. So much intention to bring back in a very subtle, gentle way. That's the intention. The intention is to remember, like, we are our best chance of balancing ourselves.
Yeah.
It doesn't work outsourcing at all.
Yeah.
Who is meant to know us better than us, really?
No, that's right. And it's, you need to have that connection and you need to have that awareness in order to then understand what your body needs so that when you're communicating with a practitioner or with whomever, like, you can get the appropriate guidance. Because if you're sitting in front of someone and going, all I can tell you is that my period comes every other month or this and this and this, like, they're not going to be able to guide you in the same way as if you were kind of connected inwards, like, really deeply.
So true. Mm. So true. And like a friend of mine who's a period coach, for her, tracking her cycle made her realize she had an iron deficiency because she would finish her period and then have the worst migraines every day 7 or something. And that was enough of an indicator for her to be like, wait a second, I bleed, had the worst headaches. Then she went and got tested and it showed she had chronically low iron.
Wow.
So there's information, you know, whether it's emotional or physical, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's so true because what you just said, because I remember growing up and going to all these specialists, but I had no understanding of the stages of my cycle. I certainly wasn't tracking it. Mm. I had nothing to tell them. It was pure guesswork for them. They couldn't probably help me even if they wanted to, because I just didn't have the understanding of myself to share it.
Yeah.
It's like a co-creation if you're working with a naturopath or something. If you give them nothing, how could they possibly know?
I saw this a lot when I was in clinic with women, and it became a no-brainer for me because I had spent so much time studying it and experiencing it for myself that I would always pose the question of, so do you know when you're ovulating? And they'd be like, yeah, my app will tell me. I'm like, no, don't look at your app. Do you know when you're ovulating? No, how would I know? I'm like, well, do you have any discharge? Do you have any mucus? Do you notice changes in your mucus? Like, do you notice a change in your sex drive? Like, in your energy? Oh, like, and again, like you were saying, there's a lot of shame around periods. We don't talk about it. Bleeding's like, ooh, like you're dirty or whatever if you bleed. And I think the same with like mucus discharge. Like, no one ever spoke about it. The more I spoke about it, I was like, you know, that sticky white stuff that you sometimes find in your undies. They'd be like, oh, we can talk about this. Like, this is, so I'm true. Not the only one. And I'm like, yeah,
so
that's
true.
Your body is literally communicating to you. Like, are you paying attention?
Mm.
So it is like a massive phenomenon where people don't feel safe to talk about it, haven't been taught about it full stop, and they don't even know what they're looking for, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I love like how these teas serve as that anchor point. Like, even for me today, because I do track on an app and I have for ages, and I kind of hear what you're saying about that. I'm like, fuck, that really is deeply intimate information. Like, I could totally take that offline and do it in a beautiful journal or something. But I was going back to that, oh, well, when's my period due, check the app type thing. But now that I've been having the tea, I'm like, oh, I'm in my fourth phase, and like, I know it's coming soon, and like, I don't get those painful symptoms anymore where I'm like, oh, it's definitely coming. Like, it's usually like a bit of a surprise visitor, like, hello, I'm here now. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Beautiful.
But it does create that sort of ceremony and ritual. And yes, it also has these beautiful ingredients that are so nourishing and supportive. And like you say, not, you know, altering the hormones themselves, but holding the systems. And that, honestly, that's like even going deeper. Like, to me, that is beautiful, like, oh, in an energetic sort of way as well.
Yeah. It feels so right. And like, we were also, I mean, I had had another business. I owned another business when I first moved back from living in Berlin and traveling for 2 years.
Yeah.
My friend and I opened a cafe basically. And I had to bulldoze my body and who I was in order to thrive in that business.
Mm.
And it wasn't sustainable. I was half dead when I had to leave that place. Like, I was literally almost hospital bound. I was so deeply unwell, which is how this whole thing started.
Yeah.
And so I had experienced having a business at the detriment of my body and my heart and my soul and who I actually was. And so when I started Inner Bloom, I was like, I will never do that again. And so I created Inner Bloom, and I'm not going to do it perfectly. I'm going to fumble along the way. I've said from the very beginning, I'm not an expert. I created these teas because it's what I needed for me. And I'm going to need them forever. It's like, it's a never ending journey of becoming back to who we actually are, stripping away all those things that aren't ours.
Yeah.
And so even the process of finding the experts, like the naturopaths and the people that could help me formulate, and even the process of like finding the herbs in them, I was like, how can I be in my truest sense of alignment and integrity? And it was like, the herbs in these blends cost a fucking fortune.
Yeah. I loved, and I think everyone should go check out your Instagram as well.
I sent a video about this.
Yeah.
About
love that.
About how we've started to, I was inspired by Mackenzie Marloff, who has the kick, who owns Fly Cacao, but we've confused value with being inexpensive. Like, oh, that's great value. And I was like, if I am providing herbal tea for our wombs, it needs to be the best quality herbs that are available, and it needs to not abuse anyone to get them. So, for example, like the cacao is sourced. I made sure it's sourced from a company that makes sure they inject like money back into the communities it comes from.
Yeah, I love that.
Mugwort. It's a uterine tonic. You can get shit quality mugwort. I'm paying literally four times the price to know I have the best small batch Australian organic farmed by hand.
Wow.
Mugwort, because it makes me feel good knowing I'm genuinely supporting. And I think that's what you feel when you drink the tea. Like, imagine if it was in shit plastic.
Nah, it's so shit beautiful.
Quality. And then you're drinking it to support your womb and connect to your body. It's like, this is what true intentional business is about from start to finish. It's like paying attention and having really good intention towards it, and actually sourcing from a place of integrity and how much you actually feel that.
And when you launched, when you launched, I was like, wow, you have given heart and soul into this. Like, and when my, I don't know if I told you this or not, but when my box arrived, I obviously got the 03 and 04, and I couldn't throw away the boxes.
Yeah.
I literally couldn't. I was like, they're so stunning. I found a purpose for them in my home because I didn't want to throw away the packaging, like the packaging, let alone anything else. And I'm like, obviously the teas literally they are now like my arts and craft boxes because they're so stunning.
Like, you do not know how many people have said, like, do you want the box back? I can't possibly throw it out. My best friend, actually, I was at her house last week, and my computer right now is on one of the big boxes because she's like, awesome. Can I just give this back to you? I actually can't experience the feeling of throwing it in the bin. Heaps of people are now resourcing it. I was like, gift it, use it as a gift box for Christmas, guys. Like, don't just use it for whatever you want.
Yeah, it's awesome though, but it's like that level of detail and like the branding, the packaging.
Because it's an experience. It is an experience.
And it feels like that.
You are purchasing something that is so sacred, and that deserves reverence. And for it to feel truly reverent, it needs to be luxurious and special. And so that's, it's the whole thing.
But you can tell that even the quality of the ingredients, like as I was saying at the top end of this, like the flavor that it imparts, even 03, I was like, wow. Like,
oh my God. 03, you cannot blend for too long. It'll blow your head off.
You know what? That's probably, it is punchy. Like,
I don't
punchy.
Brew that one for very long. Okay. It's also, that one is amazing iced. And you know what? Ovulation, that's like peak energy. It's in a summer.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. It would be good iced actually. Yeah. I'm going to do that because it's beautiful. And it was funny because even the other day, and I witnessed myself intuitively do this. I was like, oh, I'm going to have the 03 blend. And then I was like, no, I really feel like 04. Like, I just noticed that. And I looked at my calendar. I was like, oh, I'm like literally just ticked over into the last week, the PMS sort of phase. And I loved
it. I love that so much. Yeah. And this is what's so beautiful about it. Like, I have been afraid of my body my whole life. It has been a source of grief for me being in my body.
Yeah.
I've never felt connected to it. I've felt incredible physical pain, emotional pain. I haven't had a good connection to my body. And so through starting to begin the process of connecting to my cycle, it was my way in to respect my body and connect with it. And now I have this, it's still a journey and it will probably be forever.
Totally.
But I see it completely differently now. Yeah. I don't fear it as much. And that really simply, I mean, working with a naturopath and the teas and understanding my body and working with it in a sense of reverence and alignment with it, completely changed the experience of my pain. So I don't have pain anymore, anything close to what I used to experience.
Yeah.
And so that kind of dissemination of the fear I was experiencing all the time has made way to something so much more beautiful. And that's my intention with it all. Even if like you don't have pain, starting to recognize the value of something that we just didn't know about.
Yeah.
Or we were ashamed of or annoyed by. It's like it was a hassle.
Yeah.
It totally changes our experience of our connection to ourselves, which we need more than ever.
I would agree with you. And I feel like what I'm hearing as you say all of that is like, hate's a strong word, but I think we do very quickly hate on our bodies for it failing when we have these experiences, especially women moving into periods of, you know, fertility challenges as well. Like we so quickly hate ourselves. We're so quickly like, what's wrong with me? 9 times out of 10, there's nothing wrong with you. There's probably a disconnect or a lack of understanding, or your body wants you to know something before you go on that journey or whatever the thing is. But I completely resonate with that. I didn't have a fear, but I had a hate. Like I had a real like distaste and I was like, I don't want this. Like I was annoyed. Like I noticed that if my period didn't come by day 30, I was grumpy with my body. I was like, how dare you be 5 days late? How dare you? And now I'm, like you said, completely flipped the energy, also done the work, also like practicing that love for it, because that's nothing is going to thrive in an environment of hate or grief or distrust or fear versus, you know, the other side of that coin.
That is so, so wise. And that's why I think periods are a good way in, because it's like, yes, it's great beginning to connect to your body, but it's like, but how? Like for me, I had no fucking idea. Like people would say, but you know, if, even if I was seeing a therapist, they'd be like, how does it feel in your body? And that question would make me like want to fucking kill them. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Don't you understand? I don't know what my body is saying.
So it's
like even like how simple. You have a period. Pay attention to it. Simple as that. It's like, and just start to pay attention. And the rest has spiraled from there. It's invited more like what you were just saying about your body might have wisdom for you. Like I always hated that my body was making me experience discomfort.
Yeah.
Whereas like last week I've been experiencing some nausea. I'm not pregnant. Right. I've got my period.
Yeah.
But I was experiencing nausea and then I was annoyed at my body. And then for the first time ever, I had the thoughts like, wait a second. Maybe my body's processing something for me my mind's not aware of. Like I had never had that thought.
Wow.
Like I've always just been like, you annoying piece of shit.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, wait a second. My body is absorbing so much information and it's trying to deal with it without any help from me because I'm just abusing it mentally. The poor thing. Poor thing. Like it's, I have so much more compassion for my body now, how much it has gone through with genuine hatred on my part. And it still just kept going for me.
And so it showed up regardless. It just
keeps trying, even though it's like low key abused.
Yeah. And well, you know what, like we're our own worst enemies sometimes when it comes to that.
Exactly. And that's why, that for me, my cycle was the best way back in.
Yeah.
In a simple way. Simple, not too emotion-based, not too confusing, something I could keep connecting to. It's going to be there. It's there all the time.
I also feel like this comes back to patriarchy versus matriarchy.
Yeah.
And not to like go too far down that rabbit hole, but we as women are taught to live in a man's world. So men operate off circadian rhythms, right? So then we
they have a 24-day cycle. 24-hour cycle.
Yeah. And we have like a 28 to 30, depending on our cycle.
That's right.
So they're circadian, we're infradian. Yet we're all trying to be circadian. We're all, you know, men wake up with high levels of testosterone. They go out and they do the morning run and they can fast and they can do this and they can do that because their bodies are built that way, so long as their hormones are operating appropriately. So then we try and do that. And it's like, we are not designed to do that. Even if you take away cycle, like if you just looked at it broadly from an infradian rhythm, which obviously then influences our cycle, we are women. We are the moon. Like we are constantly waxing and waning and changing and moving. Men are the sun. They rise, they fall, they rise, they fall. Like,
oh, I love that. How have I never thought of that? I mean, I thought about the moon, but I've never thought the sun and the moon.
Yeah.
Oh my God, so, that's a revelation.
Right. So Holly has a party who I've sat in cacao ceremony with, she would always say Mama Moon and Grandfather Sun.
Yes.
And it really illuminated that masculine energy of the sun and the feminine energy of the moon. And like when you do take a step back, you can see that rise, fall versus wax, wane, full, you know, empty. So we do have that synergy. And so we should live in accordance to the moon and men should live in accordance to the sun in some respects. But what I'm also loving is the way that you encourage people to tune into their own natural wax and wanes and fullness and emptiness, because I hear a lot of this cycle syncing conversation and it's very prescriptive. Mm-hmm. It's like, you will feel energized during this phase and you will feel this during this phase. And yes, more often than not, when I'm in my ovulation, that is definitely like I'm an energized, outward, productive sort of individual, but it doesn't always look like what people might expect. And sometimes, like, and I think you spoke to this already, but really coming towards that, the tail end of my PMS phase, I don't want to run. I don't want to exercise. My body is like, no, I might get my bleed. Day one, day two, I'm a write off. But then day three, I want to run like 7Ks. Mm-hmm. And like, typically people were like, don't do that necessarily in your bleed phase. But I actually get a surge of energy on day three or day four.
Yep. Like, that's classic. Day three, often you get a real surge.
Yeah.
And what you're speaking to is, thank you for mentioning it, and that is so true. When I was experiencing my old business, I cannot explain how depressed and anxious I was. Like, I didn't even want to get up in the morning, to be honest. Yeah. Mm. And my ovulation phase, I was fucking exhausted.
Yeah.
Because sure. I was so out of sync. Mm. Such a good indicator. That's what I'm saying. You begin to track. Mm. If you're exhausted during your ovulation phase, that's a really good indicator you haven't had good rest in your period phase.
Yeah.
This is the thing. We've glorified being busy. Like, yeah, I'm so 100%. Busy as like a badge of honor.
Yeah.
I do not feel that. All I want to fucking do is sit. I have last week I had a 9-hour bath. I am not fucking with you.
That's epic.
Like, I literally stayed in the bath. I actually don't think that could be good for me, but like
I mean, if your body wanted it.
It wanted it.
Yeah.
But it's like, rest looks different for everybody.
It does.
If you're a mum with three kids, being told to rest on your period, you could be like, yeah, cool, nice good, yeah, one. But good, it's like, can you do 10% less?
Yeah.
And the answer is yes.
Yeah, you always can.
And this is where you start to work with your cycle. For example, in your ovulation phase, if you do have access to more energy because you've rested well in your period phase, use that week to prep extra meals and freeze them. So in your period phase, you don't have to do that. You can cook less.
Mm.
Are those emails really urgent or can they wait a few days? Often a lot of them, they can wait. So that's when you begin to start to support yourself more. And that. And so now I literally, my entire life is in accordance with my cycle. Even the way I run this business, yeah. I notice I speak way more. I was even sharing on Instagram yesterday. All of a sudden I felt like connecting with people and wanting to do a Q&A.
Yeah.
And then I realized it was the first day of my ovulation phase. And I was like, how? Of course. The week before I was just playing guitar and frolicking. I didn't really feel the urge to connect. And so it looks different for everybody. There was a time when I was sleeping my entire ovulation week because I had no access to energy. So that what you're speaking to right now is so important. There is no, that's why your cycle is unique to you. There is there's no perfect cycle.
Yeah.
There's only perfect for you.
Mm.
Begin to build a relationship with it by starting to track, starting to recognize the patterns, and then you have some information to work with.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So it's like, get educated, understand the four phases. Yep. You can do that with the T's because they're so, literal is not the right word, but they are like literally the four phases and they work. And I know you even spoke about, I think it's ovulation blend where it's like it lifts you, but it also balances you.
So exactly.
You don't
get
too high.
So ovulation blend, we have an adaptogen, Shisandra berry. So it's a revered berry in China. It's the only food that has all five tastes, like sweet, salty. Mm. So it's considered the most balancing berry.
Ah.
And it's an adaptogen. So it's really helping us adapt to stress, but it's very energizing. Plus we also have rosehip and hibiscus, full of antioxidants, very uplifting.
Yeah.
So that's helping us ride the wave of that peak energy. But then we have chamomile coming in.
Yes.
And chamomile it's often been considered as the sleepy herb, but it's actually just so calming to the nervous system that it's helping us contain that energy of the ovulation phase, but without putting a ceiling on it. It's just reining it in so we don't blow our fuse so much that our PMS phase is a gigantic drop.
Yes. Yes.
That's the sort of intention that's going on with it. We're trying to contain that energy but not cap it.
Yes.
And that feels important because otherwise if we just smash through that ovulation energy, we will feel it in the PMS phase.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, what comes up must come down.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like, you know, become attuned and become aware, but then notice the nuances and intuit whatever you're feeling. Get the basic
framework and you can read Wild Power by Alexandra Pope and Shani Wheatsler, I think. You can also, on my Inner Bloom Instagram, I did an interview with Bex, who is the woman that ran the womb training I did in Bali when I had the idea for the teas.
Yeah.
We have an interview. She's a period. I'm not a period coach, but she is.
Yeah.
She's worked with thousands of women. And we have an interview where she goes into the four stages and you can get awesome. A really, it goes for like 50 minutes, but it's
perfect.
It's essential viewing, I think, for women.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
a really
yeah.
good start. And then the teas are there as your guide and your anchor to begin the journey of your own self-discovery, because at the end of the day it's your experience of your cycle.
Yeah, that's right,
that's it.
And there's always I don't know if I was gonna say there's always room for improvement, I suppose.
Of course. Like I mean if you're not in, if you're experiencing a lot of discomfort, it like if you're not feeling very energized, and even if you are, even if you're having a few amazing cycles, it's gonna change. We have a long life.
Yeah.
Just totally. Have this tool to keep coming back.
And I think as well, that's such an important part to it as well as like part of the process. Like life is going to happen. Like you're going to have bouts of stress. You're going to have changes. Like you're going to move through different life cycles and phases. And then that's going to, you know, muck you around a little bit or have an impact. And then it's like, you know, correcting it, riding the ship, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Well. And how beautiful. Well, like I am in a relationship with my cycle now. Yeah. It is its own energy field that I connect to. That is it's like my ally. I really feel like it's my ally walking with me through life, giving me information. It's like, babe, you're a little bit off track here. You didn't rest. We're just FYI. We're going to make you a little bit exhausted because you needed to contain that a little more.
Yeah.
Rather than something that for so many of us, me included, I have been afraid of or disconnected from our entire life. Like, what a revelation to realize it's actually our greatest source of wisdom within.
Yeah. And it also, in hearing that, it's like pushes you back into flow.
Exactly.
As opposed to force.
Yeah.
Like you overdid it there. Like it's like just a natural stream directing you, moving you, guiding you.
Exactly. It's just there for us. It's just there for us to be able to experience the entirety of the human experience, but in a way that's sustainable. That's why they're also different, the phases.
Yeah. And I feel like it also gives you a little bit of a permission to be like, you know what? It's day one of my bleed. I'm not doing the thing. I'm canceling the plan. Like I'm like honoring that, like honoring that with grace and integrity and compassion for other people, especially if you're like, I'm blowing you off, but like actually just tuning into your body and being like, I could absolutely force and I could absolutely hustle and I could absolutely go, but my body is saying, can we just sit and watch a movie and eat chocolate and not do anything, please?
Exactly.
Like, just
and,
do it.
And something very powerful happens when you do that.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, when you actually put yourself first, honor yourself first.
Yes. Yeah.
I think on an energetic level, there's something that happens in that moment that gives 100%. You access to so much more connection and flow.
Yeah. And you know what, for me, it's like it unlocks a sense of self-love.
Exactly. Mm. It's the doorway in. It's the doorway back in. And it's such a great resource to keep coming back to. Otherwise, what do you have to gauge it on?
Yeah, true.
Like what structure do we have? What, our patriarchal 24-day rushing system? That doesn't work for me. I've tried
it. Yeah.
What else? And I can't use your cycle. You know what I mean?
That's right. Like we're all experiencing it at different times.
Yeah.
You know, and then you layer into that the actual moon cycle. That's then going to influence, like, I somehow synced up with the moon. So now I ovulate on the new moon and bleed with the full moon, which doesn't always happen. So I feel like it does make those highs high and the lows pretty low as well. Like it amplifies it. But even if you could be in your ovulation phase, but it might be, I don't know, a full moon or a new moon or, you know, whatever the polarity is to that. And then that's going to influence you a little bit. So it's like, that's why I think the coming home to yourself piece is so important. Like get the education, understand it, know it. And then like that journal exercise is a beautiful one.
Because you very
start
simple.
To see it like, and even you would be like, oh, I had a day 30 this month, but not last month. Like you'll even notice the timelines of things. I feel like that is just a beautiful starting point for people as well.
So true. I agree. Mm-hmm. And it's like what I was sort of saying earlier, it's like without connection to yourself, how could you really be connected to life?
True.
And so what you're talking about with the moon, it's like, it gives you this sense of connection to something, to you, but also at the exact same moment, something bigger than you. It's like, I have this cycle within me and I'm watching, like some people refer to the cycle as the inner seasons. Like, your period is the inner winter, post period, inner spring, summer, ovulation, PMS, inner autumn. It's a beautiful reference because it really does reflect that. And you start to realize like I have these inner seasons every month and I'm watching the inner seasons outside of me. It's this true connection. And I just want to mention, like, for anybody that's not experiencing a period, Yes. For whatever reason, whether you're on the pill or you've gone through menopause and you're in a new cycle of life, you still have a cycle. Mm. It's the moon. And that's why there's no coincidence that a typical period is 28 days and the moon cycle is 28 days.
Yeah.
And because these teas aren't dealing with hormones, they've been formulated for that as well. So you would be drinking the period blend at the new moon, because the new moon is that dark energy. It's more as in dark, as in like it's more contained. It's that time you go inward.
Yes.
You plant the seed.
Yes.
And then you spend a week on each. So by the time it's the full moon, it's ovulation blend, peak energy, peak creation. Mm. And you cycle that way to still get that access to cyclical wisdom that you have available to you. So it's not like once you stop bleeding, you stop being a cyclical woman. That's not true. Mm. You just move onto the lunar cycle. Mm. That's your cycle to connect to. And that's the same if you're on the pill.
Yeah. I actually have a family member that had a hysterectomy. And I said to her, do you still feel symptoms? Like it wasn't a full, it was a partial. You're like, I still feel that monthly change. Like the hormones are still there, especially if you have
and the
ovaries.
Energetics of the womb there's an energy to it. We still, even if it's you no longer have it within your body, you still have the energetics of it that you can connect to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I think it's such a beautiful practice. And honestly, it's so sacred for us women to have that. And, you know, for people that identify as women, I don't know all the PC correct things to say, but just feeling I want to be inclusive to everyone that identifies in that way.
Yeah.
But women with wombs, people with wombs, like that is like our thing. Like that is what makes us so unique. Like lean into the wisdom that it offers you, essentially. And, you know, I wish for more people to have that connection with their womb. And I feel like the teas are such a beautiful way, simple way, also rewarding way. Like who doesn't love a good cup of tea anyway?
Oh my God, no one. I want to know.
So true. But
get out of my way.
But it's like got this dual benefit. It's like, yes, you connect, but then you're also getting the nourishment from it. Like you
I'm
said,
I'm a genius, aren't I?
You really are. And also I just have to share this as well. I have a massive rejection of saying I've been busy and I hate it. So the thing I've been saying more recently is I've had a really high impact week.
Oh,
how good is it?
I love it. I've been saying I've had a full week.
Oh, I like that too.
Because it feels like full. That's it.
Full in all aspects, because it can be full in sitting on your rock for 8 hours versus packing teas and blending, which by the way, if people didn't know already, you hand blend, hand pack it, hand send everything.
Literally, it takes so long. I cannot even tell you, because I literally like sage the room between each blend. I pray over it. I like there's so much intention because I care so much about us beginning to connect back to ourselves. It's completely changed my life. And I'm somebody that I have not been a happy person, to be honest, in my life. I've been like 93% miserable for most of my life.
Mm. Yeah.
And so And of course, I've been so disconnected to who I actually am. It's been my body's way of being like, you are not on track, babe. Mm. We're going to make you miserable because we don't want you to think this is the way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so another. I have been anxious my whole life, kind of depressed my whole life, confused and self-doubting almost my whole life. Mm. It's like, I'm not just somebody that's speaking. I've always been happy and I've always been flowing. No, I have not.
Yeah.
This has been my way. And I'm still a little anxiously wired and I still have bouts of big emotions, and I'm fine with it now because I have a reference for it.
Yeah.
But for me, this was my way to begin that journey back to myself in a way that wasn't triggering and wasn't hard and wasn't it just was simple. And so that's like why I care so much about it, because I felt the difference. I never thought I would be a happy person. I honestly didn't.
Wow.
It's made such a difference.
And you know what? I am not overly religious, by the way, but for whatever reason, I have thought this my whole life, and you might resonate with it. Others might resonate with it, but I have felt a similar thing in my life, like a lot of challenge, a little, like maybe you would call it struggle, or just like feeling that resistance and being like, well, why me? Like you're getting a bit in that victim mode.
Yes. Oh yes. I'm very comfortable in victim mode. Very familiar.
Very familiar territory. But I would always remind myself, I'd be like, God does not give me things that I cannot handle. Mm. Like there's always a reason, and God can be literal God. It can be universe, source, divinity, whatever. But I always felt that. I was like, there's a reason why I'm experiencing this. Yeah. If I truly pay attention, if I truly become curious about it, and like look at what that has brought you out the other side.
Yeah.
Connection with your body, a beautiful business, you know, a heart-led business as well. beautiful connection with people. And it's amazing work that you're doing, you know, through what others would maybe just look at as being a simple tea brand, which it is not. There is so much soul to it. So much soul.
Oh, thank you for seeing that, babe. Because sometimes it's like one of those things, like I know how much I care and how much I feel. Like I feel so much.
Yeah.
I am so sensitive. I've like had tears in my eyes my whole life. Just such a sensitive little thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It feels so good when people can like actually see it rather than just me being like, is anyone going to see me?
We all see you, trust me. And you know how we were talking before we jumped on the podcast about
for like what, 3 hours? Like, are we going to start this?
We do. Are we hitting record? But you know how we were both saying that we're external vision. Yeah. Like it is that very much eat with your eyes experience. And like just the level of like beauty, like I love beautiful things. And like, I was like, where can I find a place to actually see these every day? They're not the sort of canister that you want to shove away in a cupboard. Like your branding is beautiful. And like some people might scoff at that and be like, it's not important. And no, it's not, but it just adds to the whole experience of it. Like it's, it just speaks to the thought. It speaks to the investment energetically, emotionally, physically, monetary, no doubt that has gone into this, into every single detail. Yeah. Like, so I see you and everyone sees you and it's magical.
Thank you, babe. And because at the end of the day, this is like, this, my whole intention is for people to like finally begin to connect to themselves again. Mm. And that is important stuff. Mm.
It is. It's
and so it has to be done well and it has to be done with integrity. And I think,
it's and so with, nice. With levity. With levity.
Oh my God, totally. And that's the thing. I'm so transparent.
Mm.
And like, I literally shared a video last week of me having my first actual panic attack.
Yeah.
Because it was in my post period phase. And so I still feel tons of things. Like I still get that catastrophizing energy often, like the day before my period comes.
Mm.
I had a panic attack. I mean, the world is a bit crazy at the moment, but I don't even know where that panic attack came from. I'd had an emotional clearing.
Mm.
And it obviously just dislodged some stuff that had been stored in my body for probably my whole life. Yeah. And I shared it on the Inner Bloom story because I was like, I am not interested in looking like I have it all together. I fucking hate that. I want us to be real. I want us to share this.
Yeah.
I want us to share the struggle. I'm having more struggles than ever trying to figure out who I am in this new business.
Mm.
And I'm also the happiest and more aligned I've ever been. It's both because it's real.
Yeah, like,
I'm not hiding from either extreme. I'm just letting stuff begin to move.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love
that. I think that is so important, especially with social media. We often get so many highlight reels. I don't connect to that.
Neither.
I really don't. I want to see your struggles.
Yeah.
And then I want to celebrate your wins. Mm. And there's a whole sister wound that we have as women. And I think there's a connection between a wound to femininity and sisters and a disconnection from our womb to ourselves. I think there's a big connection with all of that.
Yeah.
The more women that we have deeply connected to their bodies and their cycles and themselves, look at me now. Like I was paranoid. I didn't see any of my friends for about 6 months in my old business because I was literally so in such an anxious, paranoid state. I thought everybody hated me. I completely withdrew from everybody in my life. I felt so disempowered and so disconnected from women.
Wow.
And I was never more disconnected from my cycle at that time. Wow. And now I'm so connected to my womb and I have never had more incredible female friendships and felt so connected to women. And how much better life feels when there's true sisterhood.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And how can you have that if you're not connected to your body and your womb? I'm not sure.
Right.
Like I haven't been able to experience another way to get it.
No, I think you're bang on there. Like, I think you are, because it even comes down to like, and I think that womb space is just so symbolic of sexuality and sensuality and femininity and, you know, our whole body stores energy and emotions and scars and everything. And we've always looked at that as being muscular, like you keep things in your muscles, but I totally feel like you keep things in your organs. And I think even Chinese medicine talks about where we store emotions, like the
liver is anger.
Lungs is grief.
Yeah.
I don't know what the uterus womb space is.
No, I'm not sure.
Someone can maybe tell us.
Yeah. Somebody let us know what we're talking about.
Yeah. But like, I know there are ancient wisdoms, which that's exactly what they are. They're wise for a reason that would link that. And so, I feel like we store a lot of that within our womb space. And I feel like we make that you know, and that's probably where, I don't know, that the sort of energy release that you did, but I think we're constantly unlocking that, even to the point where I was recently asked what patriarchal norm I would challenge in society, in you know, how I view people. And the only thing that came forward for me was the way that I judge women.
Mm.
Like, I have been so conditioned to judge women. How dare she wear that skimpy outfit? How dare she do that? How, she, you know, why she got gossiping. So much makeup? Gossiping, you know, what, like picking people apart because, you know, that whole, like, it makes me sick, but that whole narrative of women asking for it because they dress in a particular way. Oh. It's like, why can't women express themselves? Now I make a conscious effort. If I see a woman in a sports bra and, you know, leggings, I'm like, good on you, because I would like to do that, but I feel too suppressed.
Yes.
I feel too judgmental of my body. It's not, it never had anything to do with you. It was never like you've done something wrong. It was always me being like, well, I wish I could be that confident. So screw you for being that confident.
Yep.
So I feel like this is ingrained. It is embedded. It is familial. What's the word when it's like in your family line, lineage based? Yeah.
I think that's so true.
Mm, and it's also so true. Our wombs, our whole reproductive system, every single egg that we have is produced in our mother when our mother is in our grandmother.
Yeah.
So we're taking on everything of our grandmother, our mother, and then like our own experience in that womb.
Big like, stuff.
Big, huge.
Huge.
Massive.
And so true. Like I'm very familiar with gossiping. And I even now, like I sometimes, you know, some if my friends is like, guess what happened? I feel excitement. I'm like, oh, tell me.
Give me the goss.
But yes, I am no longer interested in bitching about people. Like it's just a reflection of where I'm at. And that's what I recognize. When I'm feeling really good in myself, I have no desire for that. And yet when I feel shit, I'm like, tell me more, because it gives me a sense of I'm not alone in the misery. But it's like, we're better than that now. This is changing.
Yeah.
And it's changing quickly. I have faith. It's all, I'm already seeing it changing, like so much more celebration of each other.
Yeah.
And I really think, like, imagine if young girls get to drink these teas early and don't go on the pill early. Like, will they have the womb issues we're all experiencing? I don't think so.
I think
all these womb issues is from a deep grief of disconnection of our womb saying, like, pay attention to me.
100%.
I'm very powerful and I have so much I want to give to you. Why are you not paying attention to me?
Like, think about the act of the pill. It is literally to suppress your own hormonal production. It is to suppress your literal life force energy, life-giving energy hub.
Yeah.
It literally suppresses you.
Yeah. Like, there's a really good book called The Pill, Are You Sure It's For You? I think it might be by Alexandra Pope as well, but I really recommend it to people that are considering being on the pill or mothers that have teenage daughters that want to learn about it. My mum had no idea when I got put on the pill at 14. Neither. Like, it's an incredible resource to read to really understand that. Maybe it is for you, but at least you're going to be informed.
That's right. There's that, again, this whole notion of informed consent and having the awareness, like actually allow for people to be educated, to know the risks, to know what that means. You know, I can't tell you when I was working with women with fertility issues, how many of them were told to go back on the pill. To correct the issues.
I know.
So they would have hormone imbalances and they'd be like, just go back on the pill. And I was like, but no, like that's actually not a solution. It's a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
And Band-Aids are necessary sometimes.
Yeah.
But there are other ways. Like Agreed. There are other ways.
And it's like, ways. I think it's important that our mums know, for example, at 14, if they had have told me this might fuck your period up in 10 years, I didn't care. I just didn't want pimples.
Totally.
I had no emotional intelligence. I just wanted to feel good in that moment. I wouldn't have cared. But like maybe if my mum knew more about it and we would have looked for another way, I wouldn't have experienced, like I thought I would die on the first day of my period. Like I cannot fathom that amount of pain. So, and I still have a little PTSD from it. If I get a painful period, I go into panic and grief because I'm like, oh my God, what if it's going to be one, you know, that whole thing.
You wait for your body to kind of fail you instead of holding that trust.
Exactly. Mm. The doubt that still comes back in sometimes. That's what PTSD does. But
yep.
Looking back, I wish I had never been on the pill. And so my dream is for mums to buy the cycle set for their young girls when they first start their bleed. Like imagine these young girls building a relationship to their wisdom center from such a young age.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would be awesome. You're doing amazing work. And like I said, it's something that I honestly wish I could do for people, but I think you've hit the nail on the head in having it be a ceremony, a ritual, a beautiful experience, a healing experience
and simple
and so simple. Like pour yourself a cuppa. Like
it's a tea. It can take 5 minutes.
Totally.
That's it.
Totally. Totally.
But the gifts, the potential gifts from that journey, beginning that journey, are unfathomable.
Yeah. It's awesome. So thank you. And thanks for coming on the podcast today.
My pleasure.
Chat. Love you. You're the best. And I will pop all of your details in the show notes. What is the Inner Bloom Instagram?
Yeah, at Inner Bloom Tea.
Beautiful.
That's it.
I'll pop the links to the books and that IGTV live, the two that you mentioned, the interview and then the piece to the quality, because I think people need to hear that and know that. Super Sounds important. Good. Awesome.
Thank you for inviting me, my love.
You are so welcome. Thank you for being here and for sharing your story.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. I hope you got something magical out of this episode today. If you want to keep the conversation flowing, head over to the gram. You can find me at annalise.madrell or stay up to date with the latest podcast episodes at Coming From Experience, all one word. Be sure to share this podcast with a special someone who you think might gain a lot out of this conversation, and be sure to leave a review and let me know what you think. Until next time.